Tomorrow, on December 25th, the Christian world will celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We're aware that this date for the birth is not accurate, but we join with our Christian friends to remember the importance of recognizing Jesus' birth as a man in our understanding of how he fulfilled God's magnificent plan for mankind's development and salvation. The mood of society tends to be more complacent and more relaxed as the Christmas date approaches. Children are happier in an expectation of gift-giving and gift-receiving. This time of year creates a sense of excitement as well as a place of belonging, perhaps safety and togetherness in family. But we who have a grasp of the truth are doubly blessed. Not only do we enjoy the physical good things of the season, but we understand the purpose of Jesus coming to earth as the bread of life, ultimately offering his humanity to secure life for all. And we're blessed to understand how the present evil world is used to properly develop the desire in each to love and worship God righteously and freely. That is his expectation, and that is his plan. The intent of this devotional is to look at the Christmas story and travel back to Israel in picture and song as we look into what Scripture tells us of that remarkable time. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That line comes from the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So let's join together and sing this hymn. The words again are on the screen. And we're going to sing with joy about what this hymn reveals. For Christ is born in Bethlehem and has eternal purpose in saving each of us, as well as the whole world of mankind. There are four verses.
Thank you.
Let's travel to Bethlehem. I found reprint number 1400 entitled Travels in the Holy Land, August 1891, Editorial Notes. I'll read this reprint word for word, but only in part. There are parts of it that do not fit our Christmas story theme. We have but one day more at our disposal, and we'll visit Bethlehem and Solomon's Pools. The carriage road is good, and our contracting guide and friend has provided us a good coach and team. Remember, cars and buses weren't invented yet. And we're not long in reaching Bethlehem, the town honored as our Lord's birthplace. You can see Bethlehem is south and a touch east on this map here of Jerusalem. It's 5.5 miles apart. And to give you some idea, from Jerusalem to the Mediterranean Sea, if you went west, that's 35 miles. So it's not a real big country. On the way, we pass Rachel's tomb. Near here, the beloved Rachel died when giving birth to Benjamin, and tradition declares this to be her tomb. Genesis 35, 16 to 20. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephratah. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephratah, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Here is a cistern where tradition says the star appeared to the wise men the second time to guide them to Bethlehem. Matthew, oh boy. Can you see that? I mean, that slide is there. Is it too dark? Yeah, it's too small. It was bigger. You'll have to bear with me. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Continuing on in the reprint, this reminds us that from the tower upon Olivet, we saw the reputed fields where the shepherds, to whom our Lord's birth was announced, watched their flocks by night. And the road we have just traversed in coming from Jerusalem was probably the same one that they traveled. We render hearty thanks to God that, in the truest sense, We have found him that was born King of the Jews and King of all kings, or rather, we have been found of him. He has revealed himself to us. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Bethlehem is built on a hill in the shape of a crescent. The buildings are of white stone and fairly good for these parts. It has about 7,000 population. Now, this was back in 1891. This is what Bethlehem might look like during the visit in 1891. The ancient dress and customs are better preserved here than elsewhere, we are told and we believe. The Bethlehemites are clever people, above the average in intelligence and hospitality. We consider them much better samples in every way of our Lord's times than the people of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was the home of Boaz, and here it was that Naomi came with Ruth, who became the wife of Boaz and mother of Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, the king. But while notable as the birthplace and home of these, Bethlehem's honor comes as the birthplace of David's Lord, the well-beloved Son of Jehovah God. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, art not the least among the cities of Judah? For out of thee he shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Here, to Bethlehem as the chief city of their province, came Mary with Joseph her husband, according to the decree of Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, to be taxed, and here the infant Jesus was born. Luke 2, 1-12. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We visit the Church of the Nativity, built upon the spot. It is in joint possession of the Roman, Armenian, and Greek Catholics. But the apparent harmony between these is somewhat enforced, as appears from the presence of armed Turkish Mohammedan soldiers, found necessary to be stationed here by the government to preserve peace between the sects. Remember now, this was 1891, and Israel was under the control of the Ottoman Empire. What we shall see is, you know, highly suspect as to its accuracy. But most likely this was purported as a great deal by tradition. We descend some steps to about 10 feet below the church floor. I'm sorry that you can't see that. To the reputed birthplace of our Savior, which is marked by a large silver star, upon which is inscribed in Latin, "Here Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary." Another spot marked by a marble slab is claimed to be the place where the holy manger stood. Connected with this, a long underground passage leads us to a spot where, it is said, the angel appeared to Joseph, directing him to flee with Mary and the child Jesus into Egypt. Farther along, we come to the Altar of the Innocents, said to be a cave into which the children massacred by Herod were thrown. Above these memorial spots are several chapels and convents. One, the Chapel of Helena, built by the mother of Constantine the Great, AD 327, being 120 feet long and 110 feet wide. It contains 44 marble columns taken from Mount Moriah and supposed to have been pillars of the porches of Solomon's temple. Passing along the principal street of Bethlehem to its farther end, we come to the celebrated Well of Bethlehem, whose water was so highly prized by David. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the Well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the Well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out before the Lord. From this point, we get a view of the shepherd's fields. The field is probably the same where David as a shepherd boy tended his sheep and where his grandmother, Ruth, gleaned the field of the wealthy Boaz. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people." Oh, would that the shepherds of the Lord's flock were watching. They would now be advised of the second coming of the Lord's anointed, not again a man, nor to suffer, to die, to redeem, but now in dignity, authority, and power, to bless and offer healing and restoration to all whom he then purchased with his own precious blood. Could they but hear it, the message of peace and blessing given 18 centuries ago has now new force and beauty, and indeed, good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. But now as then, the wise, the truly wise, shall find and know and worship the King, while others know not of his presence. They will see and be guided by God's star. But this time, the guiding star will arise in their hearts in connection with the sure word of prophecy, as saith the apostle, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts." In returning to Jerusalem, we make a detour to the pools of Solomon. These are vast reservoirs by which the summer water supply of Jerusalem was gathered and stored. From these pools, aqueducts conduct the water for miles to the city. These are now much out of repair and consequently out of use. Indeed, the storage of literal water fitly represents the scarcity of truth in these parts, may the fountain soon be opened. Our return journey from Jerusalem to Jaffa is a very pleasant ride at night. In the full of the moon, we reach Jaffa early in the morning and have time for a visit to a Jewish agricultural school on the outskirts before taking steamer for the Suez Canal and thence by rail to Cairo to see the Great Pyramid. We conclude our visit to the Holy Land with the hope that ere long the earthly blessings promised may come to the seed of Abraham according to the flesh and to the land of promise, as well as the spiritual blessings upon the spiritual seed, Christ and his bride, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city or kingdom from which all God's blessings will flow to the world shortly. Again, this writing is found in reprint 1400 and describes what the brethren saw on a visit to Bethlehem in 1891. What a time that was at our Lord's birth in Bethlehem. What a time in the history of time. He was destined and prophesied to become a king, yet he was born in such a humble way to fulfill a plan so magnificent and comprehensive. We marvel yet even at surface depth. It was truly a holy night. Brother Sebastian Nipchinski and Justin Blackwell will play O Holy Night. Let's think back on that time as you listen to the beautiful memory when they play O Holy Night of what it was like back in the day of Jesus' birth.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sebastian and Justin. We heard you play this earlier this month, but I could listen to that over and over. It's beautiful, and it goes well in keeping with what Brother Brett said this morning about you know, offering what you have, your talents, to the Lord. Thank you. One of the verses of O Holy Night is this: a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new glorious morn. Fall on your knees. O hear the angels' voices. O night divine. O night when Christ was born. O hear the angels' voices. We're now going to be favored by Summer Whitaker, playing Angels We Have Heard on High. Thank you, Summer. You've brought joy to this meeting with your offering. That was really beautiful, and we appreciate your talents to honor the Lord. We can look back through the pages of Scripture and see how Jesus grew, how he became a man, and how he conducted his life to fulfill his Father's plan. But at his birth, his mother Mary must have been awestruck. Luke 2:15-19 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Brother Paul, Sister Joyce, Astera, and Alyssa will sing for us, "Mary, Did You Know?"
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the Son of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the ransom price for man.
Thank you, Brother Paul, Sister Joyce, Estera, and Alyssa. That was far-reaching, emotional, and beautiful. Thank you. Brother Paul furnished the slides with the words you saw in the presentation. He also provided some commentary, which I will now read. The song lingers in the mind because the title asks us to consider a question we can't fully answer. How much did Mary know about the birth of her son? No doubt Mary thought about what Gabriel said and how Joseph responded when she told him she was pregnant. She must have recalled the long, arduous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem and all the events of the birth itself, including the surprise visit from the shepherds. She certainly had plenty to think about. No doubt she wondered why God had chosen her, and I'm sure she pondered what was ahead for her newborn son. The refrain reminds us of Jesus' miracle-working power. O Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. How much of all this did Mary know? We can read a large part of the answer in Luke 1, 26 to 38. Mary heard the amazing things Gabriel said, but she could not have foreseen all the details of the life of her son, Jesus of Nazareth. That makes a response in Luke 1, verse 38, all the more remarkable. I am the Lord's slave. May it be done to me according to your word. When the angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God," Mary took a deep breath and said, "Be it unto me as you have said." And with those words, Christmas came to the world. Thank you again, Brother Joyce, or Brother Paul, Sister Joyce, Estera, and Alyssa. You've honored God with your talents. We've all heard the term Christmas spirit. This represents the attitude that prevails around Christmas time and, as alluded to earlier, is identified with more tolerance of misdeeds of others, more giving, more intimate involvement with family and friends. Time away from the workplace adds to the feeling of calm. Nowadays, when people show a little extra tolerance and love for each other, the world treats such sentiments with suspicion and takes much of the inspiration out of it. The Christmas spirit, marked by that feeling of closeness and warmth, should be a result of the appreciation of Jesus' birth and what his life meant to mankind. Someday that spirit will prevail 365 days a year and be enjoyed with a grateful trust. Life will be a continual and constant joy for everyone. Christmas Day falls in the winter months. We mentioned earlier that we realized Jesus' birth did not occur on December 25th. However, Brother Russell offers his thoughts in reprint 2407. I'll quote from reprint 2407. Quote, "Christmas Day, in celebration of our dear Redeemer's birth, has for long centuries been celebrated on December 25th. And although it is now well known that this date is in error and that it more properly corresponds with the date of the Annunciation to Mary, 9 months before our Lord was born, and that he was born about October 1st. Nevertheless, since the Lord has given no instructions whatever upon this subject, and since it is proper to do good deeds and think good thoughts upon any day, it cannot be improper, in harmony with general usage, for us to remember in a social way our dear Redeemer's birth at this time. End of quote. So we celebrate in winter. We might consider winter symbolically a dormant time, perhaps where death and sin have taken life away, a time that symbolically portrays little hope, the perfect time to introduce a Messiah, a Savior. Brother Sebastian Nepchinsky will perform a piece entitled In the Bleak Midwinter. In the Bleak Midwinter. Thank you so much, Brother Sebastian. We so appreciate your message and the message you give us through your talents in providing in song. Thank you for lifting our spirits. Matthew 1, verse 20 to 23 tells of the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph to assure him of Mary's faithfulness. It reads, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. A song that embodies the force of those scriptures is O Come, Emmanuel. The words to two of these verses are these. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Brother Sebastian and Justin will again join together, and they're going to play O come, Emmanuel. Again, another beautiful, beautiful melody and wonderfully played. Thank you. Well, this will conclude our Christmas devotional, but in review, we thank our Heavenly Father for allowing us to see that after Adam and Eve, mankind's parents had fallen, a Savior would be provided. For we read in Genesis 3, verse 15, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we learned that a promise was made to Abraham respecting Messiah, that he should be of his posterity. Genesis 22:18 reads, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The same promise was made to Jacob in Genesis 28:14, and to David in 2 Samuel 7:12 to 16. We heard this morning about Isaiah chapter 9 and chapter 11, the coming of Jesus and his greatness are foretold. It is with the eye of faith that we understand the beauty and harmony of these scriptures and give us assurance that the babe born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our King. We're going to close by all of us singing enthusiastically, "Joy to the World." Now here's the issue. I have the words on the screen. Some of them have a dark background. It's not supposed to. You're supposed to be able to see them. And here's something else. When you leave, you're going to have this tune in your head for quite a while. And you ask, well, why is that? Well, we're going to sing 12 verses. Oh, pushback. But to make it more successful, and so that it isn't long to each of us, we're going to divide it up so that the brothers sing verses 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. In other words, the odd verses, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. The sisters are going to sing the even verses, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10. And then as a group, hopefully we'll be able to see this, we're all going to sing verses 11 and 12 together. So, brothers, odd verses. Sisters, even verses. And as we did for the first hymn, if you would stand on the 12th verse, I would appreciate that. Brother Tom will close with prayer. So we wish you all a joyous and blessed holiday, and let's hope this works okay. Okay, brothers only for the 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and so forth.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once again to offer our thanksgiving. We thank You, first of all, Father, for giving us life. We thank You for the wonderful things that You have made, the beauty that we see in all Your creation. We thank You most of all for Your gift of Your Son. We thank You that You were willing to offer Him up for our salvation. We thank You also we thank Your Son also for the gift that He gave us, that He was so willing to do Your will and always is and always will be willing to be faithful to You. We thank You for the love that He has expressed to our world, to the world of mankind, and being able to provide the ransom and the sin offering that we may be lifted up and given eternal life. Words can never adequately express our appreciation for all that has been and will yet be done for us. We thank You, too, for the gift of hope. We thank You for the privilege of looking into the future and seeing the wonderful things that lay ahead, the prospects of Your kingdom, when mankind will be united to You and all will be in harmony and peace. Thank You for that hope. Thank You, too, for the privilege of having brethren to uplift us, to point us to truth, to point us to You and to the glorious things about You. We love You, Father. We love Your Son. We love all that is involved in Your plans and purposes. And we thank You once again from our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.